remember that foreknowledge cannot be foresight for three reasons. First, understanding foreknowledge and foresight makes man sovereign in salvation. We look at all these verses last week and the week before, and the week before that, to speak of the sovereignty of God. Is God sovereign? Do the scriptures teach the sovereignty of God? If God is sovereign, according to the foreknowledge of who? God the Father. And then in verse 2, after this phrase, you see Jesus Christ is mentioned in that third phrase, to obey Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood. And then here in the second phrase, we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. We see the Trinity here in this opening reading. So here at the outset of verse 2, not only does he jump into the deep end of theology by focusing on God's sovereign election, but he is doing so by focusing on the work of all three members of the Trinity. He's emphasizing that God is one entity in three persons, Father, in this case, Spirit, and Son. And that's what we're doing. Think of the depth of that. Is that not truly remarkable? Just immediately start with a letter that way. He really wanted to encourage his readers. He really wanted to comfort them. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you. He has sent us to guide us into all truth. It is hard to believe all that is wrapped up in this opening thought of Peter and his letter. What depth? What thought? Why? There's no doubt that this is completely important. The work of God. Our election is not just according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, but it is by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. And I keep hearing, ringing in my ears, that phrase in Ephesians 2:8. And that not of yourselves. And that not of yourselves. And that not. Amen? What an encouragement. What a comfort. Peter is simply to remind his readers that they are the elect of God, that they were chosen according to God's predetermined plan and purpose, and that they were chosen by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. This is their true identity in Christ. They, we, if we embrace Christ, are the chosen ones. Now, some of you went the other night, another soul will be over. Another will be seen that movie this Friday night. And in the movie was a question. And this kind of struck me. The question that was asked was, who are you? What defines you? What is your identity? Well, if you have turned from your sin and turned to faith in Christ, you are the elect of God. You are chosen. That is your identity. Just as Peter will later say in 1 Peter 2:9 and 10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who